Zach Brook, welcome to Lake Effect.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What interested you so much in this murder that took place more than 33 years ago?
Okay, well, it may be an old murder, but it's new to me. I had not heard about it until a year ago. I had been looking to freelance, and I just heard the story. I was out with friends, and somebody's father had told it to them, and I was like, this is it. This is what I need to do. The fact that it was an arrow murder, the fact that it was never solved, it just seemed too good to pass.
And for a murder that took place 33 years ago, there are apparently a lot of people that remember it pretty well and a lot of people you could reach out to who could recall those times.
Yes, that surprised me too. And many of them, they're all in the same social circle. So they would refer me to each other and stuff like that. You know, a couple key players have passed on. But no, I was fortunate that there are many people still in the Milwaukee area that remember Carl. Of course, a lot of people remember Carl. He seems to be a fairly public figure at the time, but people that knew him well, it was surprising how many that turned up.
Now, this is Carl Lotharius, and people today might know von Trier's, but for folks who weren't around in Milwaukee in the late 70s, give us a sense for how big a deal it was. This is a place that was owned by Carl, and he owned another bar as well called Oliver's.
Yes, that's correct. Oliver's was his first bar. He bought it in 72. It was a supper club, and so supper clubs were kind of going out of fashion. What was coming into fashion were discos. And so he turned Oliver's into a disco and he catered to Navy personnel and he started wet t-shirt contests and it was kind of just a wild free-for-all place and it made him a lot of money. But he also wanted a nice, intimate, upscale cocktail bar that reflected his German heritage. And so he bought Reeder's at the corner of North and Farwell when that was when the owner, Frank Reeder, decided to sell, and he turned that into von Trier, which still stands today.
And it's named for the place in Germany where Lotharius was from.
That's correct. Lotharius was from Trier, Germany, and there's a roundabout way that it became named von Trier. he named it after the city he was born in.
Kind of a roundabout way that he came to Milwaukee in the first place. Give us a sense for you know, what took him here years before.
Sure. He was over there in Germany in the 50s working on a military base. I think it was the NATO base, and he was a bartender at the NCO club, the non-commissioned officers, and he ran into Bob Zableski, who was over there with his grandparents touring the place. Bob Zableski was stationed in England at the time in the Air Force, but he was on leave. So he met up with his grandparents, who were from Milwaukee, and they came over to tour everything. And they ran into Carl Lotharius at the bar there. They were there 2 weeks. Carl Lotharius got to know them really well, showed them around. And at the end, when it was time for the grandparents to go back, Carl asked if they would sponsor him so he could come to America. And they did. So he must have made quite an impression. And he must have had his sights set on it pretty early on.
Well, and this was a guy that the people you spoke with said really turned whatever he touched into gold.
That's very true. I mean, one thing that struck me about him is he was a very hard worker. It seemed that he lived to work and, you know, he had a lot of success.
Well, but at the same time, I gather he also had some or maybe plenty of traits that might have given some people cause to do him harm.
Yes, very much so. People that I talk to are mostly Carl's friends and they like Carl. That being said, a lot of people, I mean, even his friends were like, this man could be very hard. This man would not do anything he didn't want to do and would forcefully, like, tell you about it. And if he didn't like what you were doing, he would tell you the same thing. And he did have some kind of tyrannical traits. Yeah.
He also had some hidden or maybe not so hidden traits that that maybe few people in those days would have been willing to talk about.
Sure. Yes. Carl Lotharius, a big part of who he was a homosexual. And, you know, back in those days, it was kind of hush-hush, even in the cities, even in the 70s when it was this big sexual revolution time. But that's just who he was, and it influenced his life. He never settled down with anybody, you know, and he was his own man, and, you know, for better or worse. I think sometimes he was probably lonely, but sometimes, I mean, it shaped, you know, who he was, this domineering, self-made guy.
You also said he wouldn't do things that he didn't want to. One of those things that he didn't want was let the mob be a part of his business.
Yes, yes, that's very true. I mean, it seems like, I don't know how much he knew about, you know, the mafia, but it seems like he knew some of the key players early on before he ever had his bar. And they wanted him to install vending machines in his bar, and he just would not go along with it. And that's one thing I heard, that Carl, he wouldn't do what he didn't want to do, and you couldn't make him. And the mob tried, and I mean, he took him on, and it seems like he came out the winner in that.
Yeah. It seems like it, but in the end, Carl Lotharius died a fairly grisly death. First of all, tell us what we know about the circumstances of his death.
Okay, well, let me just say there are a lot of rumors about how he died, and because the police reports are still sealed because it's an open murder investigation, it's very hard separating rumor from fact. But like, you can just ask around at the bar scene and you'll find a bunch of different ways. I was at a party last night. Someone was trying to tell me that he was stabbed with an arrow as opposed to being shot with an arrow. People say that he was shot outside of Von Trier. That's not true. He was actually shot three blocks away outside his house. There was an article where that insinuated that it was a heterosexual love affair, and that was far from the truth. What had happened, what we do know, is he had left Von Trier shortly after 3 in the morning. He walked home because he lived three blocks away.
And this is the winter of 1981.
This is the winter. This is like 4 days before Christmas. And so he was walking home. He gets to his house. He goes around to the back door, which is where he usually entered, and he was hit with an arrow. It was a 30-inch arrow, double-barbed razor tip, and it went through him. And the assailant fled, and there are conflicting reports from the people I talked to. I talked to two people that were actually there when this happened, but in the aftermath. But there are reports that he might have broken the arrow off himself, or it came off in the ground. Regardless, it came out, and he eventually bled to death in the upstairs apartment. He crawled up there to get help because he knew the people that lived up there.
You actually spoke to one of the people that lived up there, who was a business acquaintance of a business partner to some degree of Carl. And the one thing that, you know, even with the police report sealed, there is some indication of what his last words were, and that influenced the police investigation, at least from the beginning.
Oh, sure. Yes, that is available in the medical examiner's report. There are news articles at the time that mention it. He had told Zebby, who was probably his closest friend, his name was Ronald Zableski. He was the twin brother of Bob Zableski, the man he met over in Germany. Bob Zableski lived upstairs, and he died in 2012, but his then-wife, Lorene, is still alive, and she told me what she saw that night. What Carl had said, what he told people before he went into shock, what he said was, "Buzzy got me."
And Buzzy, in this case, is believed to be...
Yes, Buzzy is believed to be Herbert Dolowy Jr., who was a bartender at Oliver's. He went by the nickname Buzzy, according to all sorts of people at the time, according to his high school yearbook, according to articles at the time. He was Buzzy. So Zebby told the police, when Carl said, "Buzzy got me," that means Herbert Dolowy Jr.
So Herbert Dolowy Jr. was, I think by this point, he had been a former bartender at Oliver's, right?
Yes, he had been out of the picture for at least 6 months at that point.
And potentially, it sounds like he was someone that Carl was interested in sexually.
Oh, yeah, very much so. When I started investigating, everybody said that they were a couple. During the course of my reporting, I don't think that's true, but it's fair to say Lotharius did have a sexual interest in this guy.
Well, and so interestingly, Herbert Dolowy Jr. is still alive, and you actually spoke to him.
I did. I went down to his house in Illinois. He did not answer the door, but I left something in his mailbox, and he gave me a call a few days later, and so I had a chance to speak to him. He denied that he killed Lotharius. He denied that him and Lotharius were more than friends. He kind of phrased it as just employer and employee, and maybe just with a hint of friendship there. But they did go to Europe together. So, I mean, they were traveling companions. But he's been married twice. He denies or he insists that he's straight and that he had nothing to do with the murder.
But to this day, you spoke with people who say it really should be an open and shut case that, you know, if they brought it in front of a jury would convict him.
Yes, many in law enforcement do believe that Dolowy was the guy.
At the same time, you also spoke with some people who think that there's another possibility out there, someone who might have been more likely to have used a bow and arrow.
Yeah, that's very true. During the course of my reporting, I found that there was potentially another suspect, a man by the name of Mark Taggetts, and he was 23 at the time. People have told me that him and Lotharius were sexually involved. Taggetts had kind of a stormy history. Taggetts killed himself 6 months after Lotharius died, and people at the time, his girlfriend said that he had been acting strange for the last 6 months. His sister told me that he was very good with a bow and arrow, that he liked to hunt. That was one of his favorite activities. So
Carl Lotharius grew up in Germany. He comes to the United States. He actually joins the U.S. Army, and you spoke with people who thought that was not his only official involvement with the U.S. government.
Yes, this didn't make it in the final article over space, but I heard from a lot of people that he was in the CIA. People were telling me that he had bags of uncut diamonds he would come back as payments. And this was because he was a German citizen and he went into intelligence when he was in the Army. That's fact. But he was a German citizen, so he could integrate in society really well over there. And, of course, this was the Cold War. It wasn't just Germany. It was East Germany and West Germany. And he might have done something for them. I asked the CIA. They would neither confirm nor deny his involvement.
Now, but an arrow murder seems like it would be perfectly in keeping with international espionage.
Oh, yeah, very much so. This man is a storm of intrigue, and that's why it would be almost ironic in a way if his death was caused by some sort of lover's quarrel.
This is a murder that happened 33 and a half years ago. It is still an open murder investigation, but is anyone looking into it anymore?
Well, you know, the police say that they're always looking until it's solved, but, you know, I don't know if it's a solvable case at this point. There's unlikely to be any new evidence unless they held on to some sort of DNA at the time and testing wasn't available. But from what I've learned, there really wasn't much at the scene. And that's why they had to rely so heavily on his dying declaration, Buzzy Got Me. But at the end of the day, that was not enough for the district attorney to say, let's go ahead and charge this guy.
If nothing else, it will make for continuing really interesting stories to tell.
Yes.
Zach Brook, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.